afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events Hour, Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Trump, of course, daily in the news now. He's not even campaigning. He's won the election, at least maybe, because now there's some talk about the potential for what could happen here in a few days with the electorate coming together to make the final decision. Could there be a December surprise? Right in the election cycle, we wait for the October surprise, which then would sway the election. Never before have we seen a December surprise where the electorate comes in and changes the whole thing. But who knows? Kanye West meeting with Donald Trump. Rick Perry becoming the energy secretary. We'll talk about all of that this afternoon. And this horrific, terrible, heart-wrenching, just so difficult to see situation in Aleppo, Syria. We're seeing videos come from these people that they're convinced this is it. It's over for them. 2016, almost 2017. And we're seeing barbaric practices like it's the Middle Ages. It's insane. Be back with more. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour.
If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Afternoon, we are back. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Wow, you know, I mean, what an interesting time. What's the old proverb? Pray that we live in interesting times. And we could say that any time is interesting. But, I mean, there are some times where it's kind of like more interesting than others, now being one of those. One of those is what could be happening here in a few days when we get around to the electorate actually finalizing the decision of the election. And the question, could there be what is called the faithless electorate? Those who change the votes, which then, apparently, from what I gather, and I may be wrong about this, but from my brief bit of research that I've done here, should something of this nature happen, it goes to the Senate for a vote. So even when this happened, one time when it happened in 1836, Martin Van Buren still was the president. From as I understand, nothing changed in that election result, but there was at least a faithless, as it's known, faithless electorate who countered the decision from the initial vow, if you will. So, lots of interesting things going on now when it comes to Russia perhaps intervening, the fact that we heard Trump cry, rig, which I asked a long, long time ago, even before the primaries, I think were done because he was already talking about the rigged election. My question was, what if he wins? What if he wins, right? I mean, if all you can do is say the system's broken, the cards are stacked against you, it's all corrupt, it's all bad, this is just what happens, it's rigged. And then somehow it appears as though perhaps you've benefited from that rigged process. Well, that's, wow. Now what do you do? How do you recover from that one? Because you've basically benefited, right? If it's rigged, if you're convinced everyone it was rigged, and then you win, well, then what do you do? But at this point, somebody's not telling us something. And I think that this is one of the biggest challenges when you see that, and not that it's not always this way. I mean, I guess we're mature enough to realize that that's kind of part of this whole thing, that we don't always know what's going on. And there's always at least a couple of spins on every story to the point that someone's saying something and someone else is saying another. It happens. I get it. But man, I mean, right now, this is what we're dealing with, right? We got a central intelligence agency who is saying Russia was involved. We get a president-elect who's saying Russia was not involved. But the CIA is somehow corrupt. Now, that's a bizarre, right? That's at the very least bizarre that we have this, that we're stepping into a presidency with. Because the CIA should be working for the government and should be looking out for the country's best interest. This is why we have the CIA. That's there to come in and investigate these really bigger cases of substance that are oftentimes internationally oriented. So we can look and say, what's happening here? How do we appropriately deal with whatever crime is being committed that has this international significance that is a security threat to the U.S. That's kind of what we seem to have, which I think is kind of what we seemed to have when we heard Donald Trump say, hey, Russia just needs to hack Hillary Clinton's emails. Now, please don't think for a second that I want Clinton as a president, because I don't. And I'm willing to accept Donald Trump because he won. And I'm not a sore loser because I knew I was going to lose anyway. I talked about it repeatedly. I was voting third party. Evan McMullen was my guy. I wasn't going to win. I kind of knew there could be a path. That's why I was willing to cast a vote, because it wasn't a throwaway vote. It was definitely something that theoretically could have worked. It just didn't. But I was prepared to accept that even before the election, knowing that McMullen's chances were long shot at best. Theoretically possible, yes. Doable, in all, for all accounts, doable, but knowing it was a long shot. So I'm not here as a sore loser, because my guy or person didn't get into the White House. I'm here, as I've been from the beginning, asking questions because I'm just confused. I don't get it. I don't get how this is happening. And then we have Donald Trump visiting with Kanye West, who apparently had vowed his departure from the U.S., his permanent departure, taking up residence in another country. I don't know if that was Canada, France. I can't remember. I think I heard both of them discussed at one time. And, you know, and somebody like, I guess, probably has residence in other countries anyway. Lots of big stars own homes in other countries. Maybe has some sort of dual citizenship. But apparently now everything's cool. He and Trump got together, hung out, conversed, and all is good. He's staying put, not going to go anywhere. And then you got Rick Perry coming in as the energy secretary, and a very interesting pick. But you look at these cabinet choices, and what we see are this is one thing I will say. If you're a conservative and you're not like floating around on some sort of cloud right now, if your feet have even come near the ground since November 8th, I would be surprised. Because he is coming in with making good on the claim of stacking the deck with conservatives. Now, the question remains, what happens with the Senate and the House? Congress is dominated by Republicans now as well. But you got some seasoned Republicans in there who may not give Trump a carte blanche. They might not just say, he's Republican, he's our guy, and anything goes. There's already been some caution. Talked about that from Rand Paul. Paul is concerned that we don't have a balanced budget. We're going to repeal Obamacare, and we don't really have a clear indicator of what is going to be replacing that. And then what do you do? Because apparently the vow was put in place by Trump to say pre-existing conditions, no problem. You got health care, you're going to keep it. We're just going to replace this flawed plan with a plan that apparently doesn't have flaws. We just don't know what it is yet, apparently. And when I say we, that's not just us. That's them. We. Nobody knows. So, time will tell how Congress responds to things of that nature. Because if it affects the budget, though, this is part of their purvey, right? They need to be there voting on the budget, accepting the budget, and ideally accepting a balanced budget. And if we don't have a balanced budget, then that's part of the scrutiny that needs to be there in Congress to ensure that we are fiscally responsible. But if we can't do that, then the conservatives who really want balanced budgets may end up opposing this move. And it may look like they're opposing a proposed repeal of Obamacare, but it may be what they're opposing is a proposed repeal of Obamacare without any real plan in place that says we're going to be able to afford this because we've promised people health insurance with preconceived illnesses. So it's a bizarre, mixed up, quad mad world, as I like to say, from the old 60s, late 50s, I think 60s. Mad world. And at this point, we're just beginning, right? At least in this administration, to know where is this going? What the heck is this ultimately going to look like? As I often say, only time will tell. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. 50 minutes every afternoon. You know, it's easy to think that we have problems, that we have persecution. You know, I talked about that briefly yesterday on the show, this crazy concept that so many Christians, 80 some odd plus percent, would swear that we are experiencing some degree of persecution as American Christians. Crazy. Now, this is not faith-oriented, but you look at persecution, you want to see what oppression looks like. Look what's happening in Aleppo, Syria right now. These are people being persecuted. And they're being persecuted by their own government because they happen to be in a rebel-occupied territory. Now, they may not be rebels. They may not have a concern about the government at all. They may not really care. But they're where they are now, and they're getting bombed, and they're getting killed. Pardon me, children are dying. And it's tragic to watch this occur and feel helpless. And just look at this and say, yeah, we can pray. And we pray that there's some intervention of some sort at some point soon. But my goodness, how do you stand by and watch this happen? It's just heartbreaking. It's terrible. It's excruciating to see. These are our brothers and sisters. Like I say, I mean, I don't care if I would never have had this experience. But because I've had this experience, it makes it all the more difficult. And I know I've talked about this a zillion times, but my goodness, this group of Syrians who we met at a World Youth Day when my wife and I were doing youth ministry, 2005 in Germany. And even then, they were there under the guise of doing something else. The priest leading these kids, 25, 30 kids from Syria, had to sneak them out. This was not a sanctioned youth event for a religious celebration. That alone, apparently, as they said, could have gotten them killed. 2005. Here we are, 2016, almost 2017. Now we've got a country attacking itself in this bizarre civil war that's killing civilians right and left. And I have no idea where those kids were from, what part of Syria, but they were Syrian. But again, I don't need to have that experience. I don't need to have this personal experience to this beautiful young high school girl, Claudia, who was just radiant with joy and enthusiasm, a love of life. You could just see this in her. It was just so beautiful. And where are they now? I don't know. But I don't have to have that experience for my heart to break over what we're seeing playing out in our media now. And all we can do is just sit back and be, unfortunately, very ineffective. I don't know what else to say. How do we do this? What do we do with this? How do we get this to a different result, a different outcome? I don't know. All I know is I watch this and I want to do something. Right, I want to say, there's shelter here. You guys can come in here. You don't have to be out there. You don't have to be in harm's way. And I know it's easy. I think it's easy, and we talk about this a lot when it comes to the perceptions of God existing and us asking questions like, if God exists, how can this happen? And the only thing that I can only offer I can make on this is that without God, we wouldn't be able to handle it at all, right? I mean, think about that. If there wasn't a hope of faith, if there wasn't a hope that even with this terrible suffering, that even with it, there's at least some degree of hope. If we didn't have that, I don't see how we would do anything. Because we would watch these tragic and senseless events and we would see them only as tragic and senseless with no opportunity for redemption. Now then, why does it matter? Why does any of it matter? And watching things of this nature, at least for me, I could tell you, I would despair. I mean, it's bad enough, right? It's heartbreaking. It's painful. but I know God is bigger, and I know some way, somehow, Romans 8:28 is true, that all things do work together for the good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose, that's real. And even in these most challenged situations and most difficult dynamics, there's something still good there. There's something that God is working through. There's grace at play, and hearts are being changed, and people are somehow finding redemption. But at the same time, you have to ask, why can't these individuals just have a normal life? Just be afforded the same dignity as the rest of us, the grace to just go about what they do, having families, loving their children. Normal everyday life. Not these tragic images that are coming out of parents carting their bodies of their children because they didn't want to leave them behind, but they've already been killed in the fighting. It's just, I wish we had a solution. We can pray, we can fast, we can beg and plead with God, but you know, God is a God of allowance. I mean, that's what we got to understand. God allows trajectories to play themselves out because there is redemption there, and because we have free will. We have such free will that God generally doesn't come in and say, don't do that. He allows us to make our bed and to lie in it. He allows us to make horrific mistakes that the only redeeming element of is some degree of life lesson. Otherwise, we make such tragic mistakes, such big mistakes, that if we couldn't pull together and cobble a lesson out of it, then that would be tragic too. So God has to be at play. We can look at this and we can ask these very challenged questions and wonder, where is God? Anytime there's a major tragedy, it could be a natural disaster, something of human suffering, of tremendous human suffering. That's a common question we ask, where is God? But again, the beautiful reality of this God of allowance who says, yes, 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 yes. But sometimes that yes, for us, ultimately doesn't end well. Because God's yes, in conjunction with our flawed consciences and our flawed human sufferings and our unwillingness to follow the path and the will of God, can end painfully. But fortunately, our free will also allows us, even upon that pain and upon that path going wrong, that we can begin to open up opportunities for something beautiful to happen. Because God's allowance and our human limitations came together to create this, whatever it looks like, new beginning. And with that, real opportunity for something to happen. That's the only prayer I can hang on to in this, right? I mean, again, God's a God of allowance. He's going to let this happen. And we've just got to pray, Lord, let the seeds of this tragedy, let the challenges that are taking place, let all of this human suffering be for something bigger, stronger, better, to where this will never happen again. That there is a child who survives this in 30 years from now, 40 years from now, 50 years from now, whenever that is, when that seed that was planted in this tragedy begins to blossom, the world has changed because of that experience. It's a shame it has to wait, right? I would want to see it happen now. And maybe in some cases that could be the end result, but even if it's delayed, even if it takes a while to come, we pray for those seeds to be the seeds of lasting and true change. So we have time for, in this segment, more to come in just a moment. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Good afternoon. We are back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Culture, Current Events Hour, Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Love these kooky, like, quote generators or games that we play on Facebook that's supposed to reveal something about you. And this is over on my page. You'll find it. This thing that I saw on a friend's post. I thought, what the heck is that? She's quoting herself? Why is that? And then it's a quote generator. It generates a quote that's your defining quote for 2017. Which I have to say, mine's pretty good. Mine's really good, quite frankly. Your faith can move mountains and your doubt can create them. And how true is that, right? Because it kind of goes back to what we were talking about yesterday on the show with this concept of judgment. If we're convinced we're being judged, first off, it's our perception, because we don't know. Even when somebody says something to us, we don't know how much judgment is in that statement. Unless somebody simply says, you know what, I've been judging you for a long time. I just want you to know that this has been going on now probably for some. Yeah, they're not going to do that. You may have honk, honk, right? Oh, you're judging me because I'm not taking off at the light. It's time for you. So you got to judge me with your horns. I'm going to pull off really slow. Whatever. But it's kind of like that because we just make things up, right? So our doubt definitely will build a mountain. It's the old mountain and a molehill, or the tempest and the teapot. It's these things that seem so huge and so insurmountable that really aren't. They don't even exist. We just created it. And with true faith, not just power of positive thinking, I mean, real grace, a real understanding, as we were talking before about God being a God of allowance, that God allows us to truly follow his will effectively and accomplish the goals that he has in mind for us and live in the way that we were created to live, do the things we were created to do. That can happen. It can happen. And I think this is a beautiful combination of quotation that, as goofy as these little Facebook things are, I like this one. I like it a lot. I wouldn't have posted it on Facebook quoting myself. Thank you very much. Yes, your faith can move mountains and your doubts can create them, right? The most interesting man alive. But have fun with that. Yeah, you can check it out. So, tragic story out of Bakersfield, California. A gentleman with Alzheimer's, dementia, whatever. We can't diagnose Alzheimer's. I know this well from having a father suffer from dementia. Well, it might be Alzheimer's. We have to do an autopsy to determine that. Well, we know what he suffered from. He deteriorated to the point of not knowing where he was, who he was, or any of us in the family, that happened. And my dad would at times disappear. And it got to the point where we finally had to have a facility for him, because staying at home was simply not an option. He could get out of any lock. We added extra locks. He could get out of the house. And you know, I just remember that those times when this would happen, and the thoughts would go through my mind of what is he thinking? I mean, because you're not, right? You're not. You're in some state of, I can only imagine he was in some state of panic, that he was so desperate to get out of his own house. And he did this on a number of occasions. It was not just once or twice. And it could happen at any hour of the night. It could happen any time. And he would just disappear. And then either we or authorities or someone would have to try to find him. But he would just get out and go. And my parents lived in a very rural area, and it was always dangerous. But at least the police would find him and they would bring him home. In this situation in Bakersfield, California, man with dementia, out of his house with a crucifix in his hand. And my guess is that he at least had comfort in that. And, you know, when your mind is in that mode of dementia, where you may think you're in unfamiliar territory in your own home, you may think you're surrounded by hostile strangers in your own home, and all you know is this is wrong. That's all you know. This is wrong. I'm not supposed to be here. But here's something that's at least familiar to me, so I'm going to take this with me. It's tragic to watch something of this nature happen, but I will say something that probably is not a popular thing to say, but it's no less cruel than the disease. It's a shame that this happened, and it's a shame that police officers mistook a crucifix for a weapon. But Alzheimer's, dementia, cruel, cruel disease. I had both of my parents pass away in the past several years, and watching the two go, one was so much easier, right? Because having conversations with my mother all the way up until the day of her death, even though I knew she was suffering, she went quickly. And she went with a pretty much being who she was, right? I didn't have to watch this drifting and deterioration and a just fading into someone who I never knew, and a fading into someone who really had not even existed, right? Who was this person? Telling strange stories. Sometimes it would be entertaining, right? It would, wow, okay. Interesting. Never heard that one before. Right. And you have a sense of humor about it. You make the most out of all of this, but it's a cruel disease. It's a painful disease. And maybe not for them, at least if they're in a comforting environment where people can be there to assure them, hey, everything is okay, you're okay. No. You're supposed to be here. This is right. You're good. You just forgot. Those who are trained to handle individuals in this panic state of dementia. But the toll it takes on a family is bad news. It is truly, truly bad news. So, knowing that, well, seeing this happen, it doesn't make me think that it's good, it's tragic. But at the same time, anyone who is stuck within that world is, it's tough. It is tough. So apparently facial reconstruction somehow has decided that they've determined what St. Nicholas actually looked like. And if you want to see the proof of this, it's over at my Facebook page. And yes, he looks like Santa Claus. So if there was ever there was ever a question, it seems to be confirmed now. St. Nicholas looked like Santa Claus. So there you have it. Now, I have I've been fasting since All Saints Day. One of the more extensive fasts that I have embarked upon, and full of many graces and amazing discoveries. And I'm in such a different place, even though I still deal with sin, still in, challenged by my own weaknesses, of course. But man, I tell you what, just a pretty astounding journey. I need to journal about it and unpack it a little bit more at some point, but just kind of been writing this out to kind of see where it's going. I think I know where it is, and like I say, at some point I'll probably put a little bit more of a narrative together of what this is all about. It's been amazing. But one thing I've done is I haven't shaved. Generally, I hate facial hair. When I say generally, I mean even now. There's always a discomfort. It's never just like your face. It's hair on your face, and it's itchy, and it can be weird, and it can cause you problems that you didn't think, because like there's stuff flaking out of it and food getting caught in it, and you can't drink anything because it's in there. But now many think I'm trying to gear up for Santa Claus. Or perhaps I've fallen into some sort of Tim Allen bizarre thing, and now I'm becoming Santa Claus. So, not the plan. It might look like St. Nicholas, but strictly coincidental, just so you know. So we have time for it this afternoon. Thank you so much. Back tomorrow. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless you.
Listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.